at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus, and he vanished from their sight. Have our eyes been opened to the real presence of Jesus in our midst? Do we truly see and experience the life-transforming, yes, the world-transforming, real presence of Jesus and the means of grace which are offered here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? The disciples walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, were taught by Jesus on that road, that short road, that 7-mile road to Emmaus. And yet their eyes were not opened to the power and presence of God until Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it in their presence. We so very often go through our daily living as blind as Cleopas. And as that other disciple, who I believe was Cleopas's wife, we live in the immediate presence of our risen Lord, but we don't recognize him. We get into fights with each other, arguments with each other, name-calling tirades with each other, unforgiving spats with each other, untrusting confrontations with each other. And I'm not just talking about at the universal church level, and I'm not just talking about at the denominational level, and we're going to experience, I'm afraid, quite a bit of that here in just a few weeks at General Conference over in Fort Worth. I'm talking about at the local church level. We get into arguments and disagreements, spats and fights with our sisters and brothers seated next to us, in front of us, and behind us, in our pews, in our chairs, wherever we may be, in our meetings, in our Bible studies, at work, in Habitat for Humanity, driving nails, serving the hungry and the poor and the homeless, wherever we may be, whatever we may be doing as the family of God, we often find ourselves disagreeing and doing so disagreeably. When we fight and when we spat, our eyes are closed to the real presence of Jesus in our sister and our brother. When we fight, when we spat, when we disagree, when we call each other names, we deny the real presence of Jesus in our sister or our brother. That extends quite a ways, my friends. Our eyes are closed as the people of God. We do not see the presence of Jesus, and we treat each other so very terribly. We close our doors to the people who would come and visit. We close our hearts to the grace of God, to the love of God, when we are missing pieces. Missing important pieces of God's family. Oh, my friends, yes, our eyes are closed. And yet we walk with Jesus every day. We walk with Jesus. We meet Jesus on the streets, at Walmart, in the malls, at our work, in our play. Everywhere we are, we run into Jesus everywhere, and our eyes are closed to his presence, like Cleopas and his wife on the road to Emmaus. We're not open to the mystical, real presence of Jesus. In Emmaus, when they had arrived there, and Jesus went on to leave them, they called him back and invited him to stay and to eat, and They did, and gathered at the table. He took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. He did something he had done many times with them. He took simple bread, simple sustenance, nothing special. It wasn't donuts with chocolate on it. It was simple bread. And he blessed it, and then he broke it. And in doing this simple act, their eyes were opened to his divine, real presence in their midst. Oh, my friends, may our eyes be opened every time that bread is broken in our midst. May our eyes be opened every time the Word of God is opened up and broken apart and read together in our midst. May our eyes be open to the real presence of Jesus as we offer up prayers and praise and thanksgiving. May our eyes be open to Jesus when we are called to serve others as Christ has served us. That's what we are here for. We've come here to have our spiritual eyes opened to the presence of Jesus. There was a man I knew many years ago named Lloyd. Mother, you met Lloyd. Lloyd was blind physically. He had diabetes, and he had never done anything to control his diabetes. He never took his insulin, he never took any medication, and he never watched his diet. And so over the years, it ravaged his body until he became blind, physically blind. He could not see. One day he went to bed, he could see, he woke up the next morning, and he could not see. He was physically blind, and yet Lloyd had greater inner vision than anybody I ever met. I would take him someplace, say the doctor's office, and on our way back from the doctor's office, I would decide to make a detour to, you know, make an errand, pick up something, and we would pass our normal exit, and suddenly he would say, "You just missed our exit." "How do you know that?" "Well, I know where we're going." "Well, no, I'm making this side trip." "Well, you didn't tell me that." We'd be in church, and it would be his job to be liturgist. And in that church, the liturgist would call forth the needs, the prayer concerns and celebrations from the congregation. And it would be really creepy because he'd stand up there, and he couldn't see, and people would raise their hands. And he would call on them. What you didn't know is somebody was standing behind him would whisper the name. But it was even more than that, because he could see in a spiritual sense. He could see and know your need. He knew when you were depressed. He knew when you were hurting. He knew when you needed a phone call. He knew it because he had 20/20 God sight. He had 20/20 spiritual vision. He might have been blind physically, but God gave him sight spiritually. We, so often as the church, as the body of Christ, we so often as denominations, we so often as Christians are spiritually blind. We have a severe, severe spiritual stigmatism. We need the sight of Christ. We need to have our eyes opened to the real presence of Jesus. Over the last 3 years, I've been teaching the Methodist Church's study on Holy Communion. It was passed at the 2004 General Conference. It's entitled This Holy Mystery. And one of the things that I've been asked many times when I've taught it, both in the southeast and in the far west and in the north and in the south, I get two different kinds of questions. From our conservative brethren and sistren, I get the following. "This sounds kind of Catholic. Why do we have to study Holy Communion?" And from our friends who are on the more liberal side of the spectrum, I get the following. "This seems kind of out of touch with today and old-fashioned and traditional. Why do we have to study Holy Communion. It seems kind of out of touch with where I am right now. It seems like hocus pocus. What does this have to do with reality? I get it from both sides. From one end saying, ooh, and from the other side we hear, ooh. One of my favorite responses and reactions is to one of my favorite hymns. Let's see. Take your hymnal. 616. It's a wonderful hymn by Charles Wesley, who was the brother of John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. Come, sinners, to the gospel feast. Let every soul be Jesus' guest. Ye need not one be left behind. For God hath bid all humankind. That's a reconciling statement right there, isn't it? Amen. Do not begin to make excuse. Ah, do not you his grace refuse. Your worldly cares and pleasures leave and take what Jesus has to give. Wow. We often try to make excuses for why we are blind. We often try to make excuses for why our eyes are closed. Don't begin to make excuse. Come and partake the gospel feast, be saved from sin in Jesus' rest. Oh, taste the goodness of our God. And that's, you know, wonderful. And then, and eat his flesh and drink his blood. Blah. I like barbecue, but that just kind of turns my stomach right there. And eat his flesh and drink his blood. That sounds Catholic to me. Yeah, it does. It sounds literal to me. Yes, it does. Yet Charles Wesley wrote that. Methodist, Anglican. See him set forth before your eyes. Behold the bleeding sacrifice. It's getting worse. And then hear this. His offered love, make haste to embrace. And freely now be saved by grace. That's what it's about. It's about grace. The receiving of grace. In literal language, eating and drinking Jesus. Ugh. Receiving. Internalizing. Taking into ourselves the real abiding presence of Jesus. It's what we're about here. Being fueled up. I have a friend, he founded a new Methodist church out in the West, and he called it the filling station. Because he said, you have come here to be filled up with Jesus, to take Jesus out and share him with the world. To serve as Jesus serves others. To serve and be the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears and the lips of Jesus, to be the only Jesus that some people will ever see. To be as Christ to the world, we must have our eyes opened. We must be filled up. And that's why we come together and worship and study the Word of God and pray and praise and serve others and receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. In the sacrament of Holy Communion, we have an opportunity to reach out and touch and be touched by the real presence of Jesus. We come forward as an act of faith and receive the bread and receive the cup. And when we eat and when we drink, God conveys into us the abiding, life-transforming, world-transforming presence of Christ. We are fed with spiritual food. We are empowered with spiritual sight. Our spiritual blindness is healed. And we are given 20/20 spiritual vision. Today, I invite you to come to the table of the Lord. And set aside spiritual blindness and see in your neighbor and in the person out on the street, in the boss that you would rather say other things about, in your family and friends, in the stranger you meet at the airport tomorrow, see in every person the presence of Christ. And then be the presence of Christ for them. Come to this filling station and be filled up with the love, the grace, the life-transforming presence of Jesus, so that you can then turn and share that presence, that grace, that love with others. But we only received it a couple of weeks ago. Why do we have to receive it again? Well, I eat every day. How about you? I have to hear the word proclaimed frequently. Every Friday, I go to another church and another denomination. They have a midday communion service, St. John the Baptist Episcopal over in Lake Highlands. And I go over there every Friday at noon and partake of communion with them, because I get hungry for the real presence of Jesus. I get thirsty for the grace of God. My prayer for us as the family of faith is that we can come to our worship, come to our study, come to our common work together, and come to the table of the Lord, thirsty for God's presence, and then stand and turn and go out to share God's presence with others. That is the core of sacramental theology. That's what I did my doctorate in. And you can get all lost in great big words and theological arguments, but when you break it all down, it's very simple. Receive God's grace, and then share God's grace with others. That's what it's about. That's what we are about. Receiving the love of God and then sharing it with others. Let us do that today. I invite you to participate today in the sacrament and in every act of worship and every means of grace, receiving the love of God and then sharing that love with every person you meet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information, or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.